Thank you for listening to the Family Life Podcast. For more great content, visit thefamilylife.org. We hope you are blessed by today's message and will be encouraged to share it with someone you know.
Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved. Touching his vineyard, my well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out of the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. It was in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and began to desire from him that he would show them some sign from heaven. This is what it said. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Now, it's important to note here at the beginning of this passage that it was not just a matter of questioning or them wanting some significant sign from Jesus that was the problem. The problem was, it said, they came tempting him. It would have been tragic enough if it was just questioning, but instead they positioned and postured themselves in a place where Satan once stood, a place of tempting the sovereign Savior of the world. In other words, the clay was correcting the potter. The creation was challenging the creator. Dust was demanding a demonstration from the divine. They wanted a sign, and the one who spoke the worlds into existence instead looked to them and put to them a question. He said, when it's evening, you say the weather will be good, for the sky is red, and when it's morning, the weather will be foul if the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, he said, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times that you are in. He then indicted this generation, the temperament of man, and he called them wicked and adulterous, meaning, in other words, they were sinful and they were unfaithful. They were sinful and unfaithful, and they were seeking after a sign. And then he told them that the only sign that would be given to them was that of the prophet Jonah. In other words, 3 days and he would rise again, signifying his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then the word said that he left and he departed from them. The exit of Jesus was the result of their failure to discern their present spiritual condition and the presence and influence of the Savior that was before them. They lacked recognition that the answer to the question that was put to them was standing right before them. They wanted a sign. They could see and sense the environment around them. They could tell you what kind of climate it was, but they could not see God in front of them. Do you understand this? Do you see this in the Word? They could not sense his presence in the present that they were in. The only sign that they needed was standing in front of them. The answer of all answers was there, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. He was right before them. God incarnate asked them a question. Why can you not discern the times? When we ask a question, it's because we do not have the answer. We need resolution, we need closure, and so we ask the question because we want something to bring us to that end result. But when God asks a question of us, it's not because he lacks the answer or he lacks the ability, but rather he does so because the answer to the question is in the question itself that he presents to us. Through the question, he is revealing what he wants to be perceived and to be recognized and ultimately received and responded to on our part. And that is what he was asking for in Isaiah, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse. Read it again, if you would. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. The answer was in the question he placed to them. What more could have been done, he said. What more could I have done? He was looking to this people. He was looking to you and I through the word. What more could I have done, he was saying. All that was needed for there to be fruit to be born in the vineyard, it was given there. It was in a fruitful hill. The conditions were right. The soil was soft. The rocks were removed. As a matter of fact, the word said, the best vine was chosen and a tower was set in the midst of it. When he asked the question, what more could have been done? He was saying to them, in fact, nothing more. Nothing more could have been done. Nothing more needed to be done because he was enough. He was the answer. He was the one that could save them, redeem them, change them. We are finding ourselves in a time where there seems to be so many things presenting themselves to us right now, so many signs, if you would, that it would seem that we all could and should recognize what is surrounding us. The glaring obvious of the end time, the last days, it should be recognized by us all. There should be something within the heart of hearts who we are, sensing in the spirit what's going on. It should be arresting our attention, the sights and the sounds of the spiritual climate should be making us run to the one that is the answer, and that is Jesus. But still, there are those who hesitate and delay, failing to feel the season that we are in. Jesus offered the parable of the fig tree in the vineyard, where the owner of the vineyard had come 3 years looking for fruit to be born on the tree, but each time that he arrived there, when it should have been there, there was none to be found. And so he told the dresser of the vineyard to cut it down. Why allow it to take up space in that particular setting? The dresser of the vineyard, as you know, in the word, asked for another season. All that could be done, now understand this, all that could be done was done. He dug around it, he fed and fertilized it, and ultimately it should have bore fruit by what was given and done for it. Our purpose is not just to bud and blossom. Our purpose is to bear fruit. There must be a response to all of this. There must be a response to what's resonating in our spirit. There must be a seeing and a sensing of what God is trying to do to gain our attention. There is not an excuse or justification for wasted seasons of the spirit. They require an action and a response on our part when there is the wooing of God that draws us, that tries to gain our attention, our affection. We can't expect God, and unfortunately so we are in a generation that looks at often this way, but we cannot expect God to overlook a lack of spiritual sensitivity and response just because our conveniences and comforts have been challenged. All the much more, it should be that we are running to the Savior, the answer, the hope that we have. To the one listening today who has felt the call and conviction of God in all of this, can I tell you today, quite frankly, it's time to respond. Romans tells us that we and all are without excuse in the 1st chapter in the 20th verse. Read it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We are without excuse. No past offense, no present opposition, no worldly carnal distraction, no fear, no failure should keep us from seeing and sensing the Savior and running to him right now. No, we're not gathered in the church at present, but until we are again soon, your couch can become your altar, your car can be your prayer room that opens the door to God. Wherever you are can be a place of repentance and response. Jesus left the presence of the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they could not see and sense who he was at that moment. Don't let this moment, this season, pass without responding to what God is trying to do in your life. Don't let it leave you. Don't let it exit from your life, the feeling that you are sensing in your heart and mind. You must be saved. He has done all that needs to be done for you and I to be redeemed, to be saved. And now it's time to grow. It's time to bear fruit. It's time to be saved. Right now, wherever you are, I recognize that you might be in a car at home in an environment that may not feel conducive to this, but right now, wherever you are, stop and pray with me. You can be saved. You can be filled with the Spirit this moment. You can call us and we'll baptize you in the name of Jesus. Your life can change forever right now because he has done all that needs to be done for your salvation, for your life, for your hope. Pray with me. Father, I pray right now to the individuals or families that are listening to this and God, they're sensing in their life the call of the Spirit, the wooing, the conviction that's gripping them. Help them to realize that there is nothing more that needs to be done. You have done all that needs to be done once in the end of the world for the salvation of their soul, for the healing of their mind and body. And I pray, God, that you would draw them and they would respond right now, wherever they are, wherever they might be in their home. God, I pray that there would be a move of the Spirit, a move of the Holy Ghost right now, God, that they would feel and recognize that you are present with them, that you are the hope, God, that they cannot live without. And I pray, God, that they would come to you, that the prodigal would return to you. And I pray, Lord, help us to recognize that our hope was never meant to be in this world, but it has always meant to be in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.